Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Consumer sentiment falls to a six-month low as lower-income Americans grow pessimistic. And PayPal wants to create a new super app. Will this be dangerous for the big players in the markets? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Eddine Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and today again on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So I hope you had a lovely Valentine's Day yesterday, and Salah, it was your birthday, so happy birthday, all the best for you.
Happy birthday, Salah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Peter, we just heard Americans are becoming more pessimistic about the recovery of the economy. Can you feel that on the floor of the stock exchange as well? Are the people more pessimistic?
So, look, you know, we've always talked, you, the three of us, about the divergence between where the market is and where the economy is. And obviously, our hearts and our prayers go out to all those majority of the American population who are still suffering, right? Whether it's the restaurant industry, whether it's the employment situation, whether it's people who are living paycheck to paycheck, who some are out of a job, those who have having to wait months and months and months for the further recovery stimulus to come into being. So at some point, it's going to eat away at their spirit. You can live on hope for only so long. None of us, I believe, now we are a year since the first person passed away in the United States from the virus. It's almost a year since I got sick. We have been in this tumultuous time of a major global health crisis now for a year. If you had asked us when this started, we would have given you disbelief that it was going to happen at all. Surely disbelief that we would have been sitting 1 year later, still in the midst of a massive heightened global pandemic, as well as a deep economic crisis. Let's forget for a moment about the market, because the market is not reacting to the lack of confidence in it. The market continues to have an appetite, because those who are involved in the market, besides the new Wall Street bets and the Reddit guys and the new democratized 40 million young retail investors, the majority of the market is being fueled by people who have money and who have benefited over this time. However, I feel it on the streets of New York. I feel it when I speak to other people whose spirits are being eaten away on a day-to-day basis, even people who are more privileged like ourselves. This is really starting to get to me, right? The mask thing, which we need to maintain now probably for at least another 8 months. The inability to get vaccine when necessary. The fact that businesses are at a standstill. You walk down the streets in New York and most of the stores are closed. You know, now as of today, we are seeing a reopening of inside dining in New York City at 25% capacity. I just watched an interview with Katz's Deli, which is some deli people know throughout the world, family-owned business, delicatessen, for over 133 years. And they were being asked the question, how positive a situation is reopening inside traffic for 25%. And they said, you know what, it's a business killer. You know, they've been able to reinvent themselves, sending food out, trying to create an in-home experience for people throughout the pandemic. Opening a restaurant at 25% capacity, if you have not been able to reevaluate your business model through e-commerce, through websites, through at-home dining of some sort, is not going to make the economy any more robust. So people's confidence by now have been eaten away. People are COVID burnt out, right? And so I think that makes sense. It's amazing it took this long for the consumer confidence index to get eaten away. But at this point, we're a year into this thing, and it's bound to happen.
Yeah, Peter, and something what we need to underline is, of course, fundamental data like this data is also time-lagged, and we see no pessimism on the markets. I mean, technically speaking, what a wonderful uptrend. We've seen new record highs. And I need to underline this again. Using technical analysis is something that you that can guide you and taking more knowledge about risk. I mean, I had a nice example to show. We had an EMA 55 moving average and the Bollinger Bands combined. You had two nice buying signals in the last 3 months, actually. Now in 2nd of February, again, this was a pullback to get to new highs. I mean, pessimism on the street is not pessimism on the Wall Street. So there is a difference. What I want to ask you, even if it's February, actually it's a weak month, we see still higher highs. Is there a peak coming up, or do you think, look on technical analysis, the way up is much higher?
So, look, I find it unbelievable that the appetite, right? So I'm here on the floor today. I hope some of your audience is becoming aware of the SPAC craze, the way companies are being brought to market to become public. We've done 5 SPACs today already this morning. My son is down there now doing the SPACs that have yet to open. 2 more. Last week, we did 25. The IPO market is still on fire. The tech sector is incredibly robust. The Bitcoin situation is completely exuberant, whether it's irrational or not. So the appetite for people within the marketplace, the incredibly strong, by now, companies are, have those that have survived, and most of the public companies have, and there are a few that have been really hurt, except, you know, it's, look, I need to go back for a moment because I read something fascinating yesterday that one of the catalysts in the market's robustness when in during an earnings season is the fact that we've retraced a lot of expectations on earnings and made it so, and costs, overhead costs by now, going back to my original statement that no one would have thought we would have been still in this situation a year in, what the companies have had to do to stay alive is cost cutting. Right, whether it's employee layoffs or whether it's taking down brick and mortar or it's working from home or whatever they've had to do, the cost cutting has made them once again a viable business model that can be profitable. Right, so I don't know how that's going to look like on the other side of the pandemic when we start to reopen. Hopefully, there'll be a beautiful surge of employment and whatnot. The markets seem to have an undaunted appetite. Investors have seen an undaunted appetite for SPACs, for IPOs, for digital currencies, for the new, including the new 40 million young retail traders that are getting into the market. That's a whole nother story we'll talk about. But the tech sector is on fire. The PayPals of the world, the Amazons and whatnot. We're seeing social media. We're seeing tech. We're seeing even now people are starting to look forwards towards the airline industry and the travel industry are that they hope will be the first ones to benefit from the reopening. So as we often say, the market is forward-looking. This we will not be in this forever, although right now for us it feels that way. And that's contributing to the lack of confidence in the consumer. However, people in the marketplace, the investment community, are forward-looking. They are looking for the fact that if you hold back a horse long enough that when the gate, the bell rings and the gate opens, there's going to be a flood into every industry possible. People will have been saving money, though some of them who have some disposable income, those who have not traveled, who are prone to travel and vacation and whatnot, who haven't done that for a year, are going to be dying to get on a plane and dying to get on a cruise and going back to the movies and whatnot. So the market tells us, I always say the market does what it wants to do. And right now the market is telling us that every pullback has been a pullback to a support level. We're seeing that in technical analysis. I like the fact that you brought that up. We have to do that. Anyone wants to talk to us about technical analysis, we're happy to share our inroads. It's the only defense against volatile markets. But what it's proven to us is that any pullback we've seen, and they've been few, have been up against support, and they've been nothing but buying opportunities, not selling opportunities.
Totally agree.
Peter, talking about the big tech companies, PayPal just said that the company wants to double its users in the next years and that they want to create a super app so you can trade cryptocurrencies, you can trade a lot of things. Is this maybe a big, new, important player for the markets?
So let's go back to the pandemic. Let's go back to Robinhood. Let's go back to the democratization of the of markets, right? For the many, many decades, people who the only people who were involved in the stock market were people with enough of an income or enough of an asset base that they could open up trading accounts, whether it was at the big houses or at the smaller companies that started the Charlie Schwab's and TD Ameritrade, right? You just can't open an account with $1,000. What we saw happen at the beginning of the pandemic, which I'm calling the perfect storm relative to the democratization of the stock market, is Robinhood came along, offered a very simple app, and they're not the only ones, and they've got a bit of ash on their face right now from the recent occurrences. But there are a plethora of young apps which have democratized trading where people can go online on their phone with $100, $50, $1,000, $2,000, and people can start buying, whether it's fractional investing or not. They can buy one share, five shares, 10 shares, and get involved in the market. So how do you, they've increased their user base incredibly, right? There are obviously some blemishes on their situation due to the Wall Street Bets thing. But what we've seen is that through social media, that for me, one of the most fascinating things, and I'm going to be talking in a couple events in Switzerland and Holland and with the IG trading days about the effect of social media on the stock market, because I think it's significant. We've seen the sort of the overwhelming effect that the Wall Street Bets and the Reddit guys have had, some of it with some bad players, some of it most of the people lost. We did see a couple of people strike rich and make a couple of million dollars. But you're going to see a marathon towards getting more user base in all of these apps. Everyone's looking at this, PayPal being one of them, and there's eToro, there's IG, there's other ones that are democratized trading apps that are going to have to, once they've gotten their customer base, once they need to grow bigger, they're going to have to keep their customers, right? These are all going to be challenges. It's very easy to press a button when markets are going up. We know that. That's one of the reasons we all talk about technical analysis. The point is, if you can get customers, the next step is to keep the customers, right? So that the trading model, that whether it's PayPal or whether it's one of the other, and there are going to be many of them, fighting for that piece of the pie in the democratic retail trading space, everyone's going to go after us, after it. 40 million people came into the Robinhood system. There are many people left because of the blemishes over the last couple of weeks. There are people out there, hundreds of millions of people, looking for a place to put their money. We've woken up the bear. We've poked the bear. We've shown the bear that there's money to be made in the market. And you know, I think the three of us agree, we love that more than anything. We want people to be invested in their future. We want people to buy stock, not stuff. That is the future of the world population, right? And once we open up, that's going to be an incredible, exciting thing. PayPal is going to be one of the players. They've obviously done a really great job at building their business model. How they're going to go forward on this, I'm sure they've got some really great people behind them, but they're not going to be the only players. Everyone's going to be fighting for a piece of that pie.
Peter, you already called it like democratization of markets. I love that, yeah, synonym. And I see since 1980s till now, technology was so fast, but education was not coming with this technology so that people can start trade easily, flexibly. There is a huge gap between how fast people can access markets today and how much knowledge they gained in this time. So my aim and my target is that people are aware that you have technology, you can access very fast, but please do me a favor and start learning how to trade, how to measure your risk, how to manage your risk and money management. Are you agree with me that you can see this picture, what I want to describe?
my mission, and you're at my mission with Manuel as our point guard on the game, is education. As I often say, the analogy I use is, if I wanted to go to become a pilot, right? I wanted to fly a plane. I would take a course online. Then I would go to a flying school. Then I would get into a plane with a co-pilot, and I would have to log hundreds of hours before I were to ever fly that plane. It's a matter of life and death. Trading is the same thing. And I think it's irresponsible for any of these apps. And there are some that do education. The Charlie Schwab's of the world, the TD Ameritrade's, do have education platforms within their trading program, right? But that's one of the reasons we have the Wall Street Global Trading Academy, is because trading a market, we don't want people's impression, which so many of these young new traders have, that this is a get-rich-quick scheme and that it's gambling. If you don't have the fundamentals of technical analysis, it is gambling. Yesterday, the Reddit Wall Street Bets guys went after the cannabis industry. Tilray, which has been a stock that's been volatile since inception, it went from 12 to 350 and back to 12. In the last 4 days trading, went from 12 to 66 to 77 and back to 30, right? Now, granted, there may be many people who got on board that train and bought it and made a lot of money. I wish all the best on those people. But I promise you, and as somebody who I spoke to last night, a friend of mine, who bought the stock at 12, went to 26, he called me, goes, oh my God, I said, be careful, always ring the cash register. It went to 40, it went to 66. After hours yesterday, it went to 77. And he called me, goes, oh my God, it's going to 200. I love it, it's amazing. And by the time we were done with the phone conversation, after hours, it was trading at 31. So the bottom line is, there are more people, I promise you, whose accounts got blown up because they don't have the discipline to ring the cash register, technical analysis, knowing when to get in, how to get out. Our friend David Green was on the phone with me last night, and I said to him, what are we thinking about Tilray? And he goes, Peter, after hours, it's dropping like a tank. I said, where do you like it? He said, the first place I like it is at 29.65. And then I don't like it again until 19 or 16, because that's where the EMAs were telling us they would support. The bottom line is, we saw it with GameStop. When GameStop came down, and I wish everybody to make money in these stocks. But the bottom line is, stock that goes from 2 to 19 to 483 and back to 50 are dangerous places to play if you don't have the experience. The bottom line is, when it was coming down from 480, I called David Green, who runs the Green Room Live and is partners with me on Wall Street Global Trading Academy. I said, where do you like this stock again? It was falling to 300, to 200. And you know that there were people going, it can't go lower. I got to buy it. And he said to me, Peter, the next show of support is $131. I said, you've got to be kidding. Down 350? He goes, yes, that's the patience, consistency, and discipline are the keys to technical analysis and trading. It got down to 130 spot 56, right at the spot where Mr. Green said there would be support, and that was where the pivot point was, when it hit up against the moving average. Between there was a vacuum. It touched 129.56, it went up $17. So I beg people to learn technical analysis before. If you're trading $100 worth, go have some fun, get into the industry, enjoy it. But if you're committing capital, and you want to have a future in this business as an investor, as a day trader, or whatever it is, there's your last defense against volatile wild markets is technical analysis. You know it, I know it, Manuel knows it, and there are places out there you can learn it. It is a must. Before you get on that plane and fly across the ocean alone, you have to have hours, hours, and hours of training. You need to know exactly what happens when you hit turbulence, right? Because it's not always going to be a smooth flight. And we're seeing that a lot of these flights are not smooth. So I beg that to people. Education.
At IG, clients can visit our IG Academy, for example, to get exactly that insights that you mentioned.
Correct. And the IG community will be made available to them very soon. The Bumidi bands, the David Green strategies of technical analysis, everything will be offered up to them. And we are so excited. We could not be more excited about that. to educate people. How joyous is it when you press that first button to make money and you don't give it back? It's not a matter of how much you make. It's how much you keep.
Absolutely.
And one last thing. You learn once, you earn for a lifetime. It will be a tool you can take with you forever.
And guys, I can tell you, I would definitely go on a plane with you. And Peter, you can be the pilot. I trust you.
You don't want to do that, but you can go on the plane and trade with us. Someone else has to pilot that plane.
Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Eddine Boumidi, head of markets at IG. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. For more information, go on IG.com. Thank you so much and have a good time.